You'd be kind enough to open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 25, so in a minute we can get a head start. I want to say a few things myself. Numbers chapter 25, Mr. Habegger mentioned, it is Memorial Day. You come on campus and you see the flags at half mast, and boy, my heart just drops a little. Remember, the red on the flag represents blood. A lot of guys and a lot of gals gave their life, gave their arms, gave their legs, gave their all. So we can have the freedoms that we have in America today. Don't ever forget that. Memorial Day, I did a little research. Maybe you know it already. I don't know. But after the Civil War in the late 1870s, some ladies got together and said, we want to decorate the graves of our fallen friends and loved ones there in the North. So every year they'd meet, decorate the grave. So now it's called Decoration Day to some people. Even in Arlington today, they put flags on every grave. Decorated. I was down in the Columbia area last night for a graduation party for a great nephew, and we came by two different cemeteries, and again, flags on a number of the graves already. I'm afraid we're all guilty that we like to, of course, we're in summer school, I understand, but most of America's picnics, parades, they're having a blast, they're having a party. It's a day off of work or whatever, but do we remember the real reason why we're thinking about it? And we think of the Lord Jesus as Christians. You know, he gave his all for us. And we party and picnic, and we don't take it that serious. So today I'd like to talk about Memorial Day in the sense of the Lord Jesus. I'll end up in John chapter 2 when he cleansed the temple with some zeal. But we'll start with Numbers chapter 25. Today I'd like to preach on remembering to remember. Think through it. Don't forget to remember. Do we remember to remember? We remember those that have fallen, those that have fought. And in some commentaries that I studied over the weekend, you even remember those that have gone before us. Your parents, maybe. I'd sure love to hug them again. They're in heaven now. Can't do it. Some of you can hug your folks. You don't hug people you don't like. You ought to like your folks. Hug them every day. One day you won't be able to. Hug Jesus. That's what we want to do in the next few minutes. Are there some areas that, you know, we need to clean house, like the Lord cleaned the temple? There's this guy Phinehas, one of my heroes. He's the third high priest. Anybody remember the first? Aaron. His son was Eleazar, and his son was Phinehas. And in chapter 25 of Numbers, let's read it, Israel, they're about ready to enter the Holy Land. It's the end of the book of Numbers. But before they do, they really blow it. And Israel abode in Sittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, which is on the side of the Dead Sea right before you cross the Jordan River and come into the Holy Land, if you know your map. And they call the people of, that is, the Jews, to sacrifice to their gods, Baal. And the people did eat, and they bowed down to their gods, verse 3. And Israel joined himself to Baal, Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every man his men. That must have been hard. That joined themselves to Baal Peor. And behold, in other words, pay attention when you see the word behold. Behold, behold. Remember, remember. One of the children of Israel came, brought unto his brethren a Midianite woman, and she probably didn't have much clothes on, in my thinking, in the sight of Moses and in the sight of the congregation. And what they're doing to godly people, they're pouring their heart out to God at the church. They're weeping at the door of the tabernacle. God, please, save our nation. God, help us in the elections in November. God, that our nation would turn back to you. Anybody in here that needs to turn back to the Lord? We're praying for you at the door of the church. Verse 7, and Phinehas, he's the up-and-coming star, the third high priest, about 20 or 30, I would figure, but he takes a javelin, verse 7 tells us, and he goes into the tent, verse 8, who knows what they're doing? Kills them both. And the plague was stopped. Look at verse 8. I mean, if he didn't have the courage to stay awake in chapel, or did I say that? If he didn't have the courage to take care of business and take care of the sin, more people would have died. Look, 24,000 people died as it was. Verse 9. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Phinehas is my boy. He's the son of Eleazar and the son of Aaron, the priest. He turned my wrath away from the children of Israel while he was zealous. And there's the key phrase for today's lesson. Are we zealous for God? Maybe a lousy illustration in the end, but I hope it's a good one. But when I graduated here in 74, I worked in a church and taught in a Christian school in Maryland for 4 years. And during that time, the church bought a Boy Scout camp called the Promised Land Camp. Maybe some of you, I don't know, it's in Pennsylvania. I helped there several summers, but it was a good thing, good time. The point here was the old Boy Scout camp had a totem pole there right in front and center. And I just thought, boy, totem poles, that's the gods of the end. You know, I don't want any other gods at this camp. I pushed the pole down. I don't know what the directors of the camp, nobody ever said boo. But I knew I was going to lead the camp the next week, and I don't want any other gods in that campground but God. Are we zealous? You know there's things in your life that shouldn't be there. You're watching too much television, and what you're watching isn't godly. You know it's not godly. On the computer, I have academy students all the time saying, Mr. Weathers, pray for me. I had one email me just the other day. So I text him every day, stay accountable, stay pure, keep your mind clean and out of the gutter. Be zealous for God. Are you a Phinehas? First Chronicles, we won't take time to turn. I got to get two more people covered here in a minute. But First Chronicles 9:20, if you're taking notes, write that down and look at it later. But later on, they brag about Phinehas. Two things I'll bring out real quick. Number one, he was in charge of the tabernacle to keep it pure, to keep it clean. He was in charge of the group that set up the Ark of the Covenant and set up the tabernacle to make sure every, you know, I was dotted and every T was crossed. Who else would be better than the Phinehas? He's zealous to serve God. Would they have picked you? I think of Judas. They picked him to keep the money. Remember the treasure? He had them fooled. Now I got a little money in retirement. Did I just pick anybody to take care of the money in retirement? Or I'm going to pick somebody that I can trust. Because, you know, when I retire, I'd like for a little bit to be there. Who did they pick to keep the money? Judas. You just don't pick anybody to keep your money. Judas had really pulled the wool over their eyes big time. He had them fooled. He was no Phinehas. Which are you? It's Memorial Day. We remember those that went before us. We remember Jesus who died for us. I'm saying there's a parallel here. If Phinehas doesn't have the courage to kill the sin, to take care of the cancer, to get rid of the termites, more people die. And when the sin's taken care of, the plague is stayed. We all have a plague of sin. And Jesus willingly died. He took the rap. He took the fall. He died for you. He died for me. So we don't have to pay for that sin. Why not love him? Why not serve him? Why not be zealous? Again, a lot of Americans are picnicking and partying today, and they won't take 2 minutes to pause and thank God for those people that went before. Are we thankful for what Jesus has done for us in going before? And we live like it. We show it. Well, that's examine number one. Examine number two. Turn over to Nehemiah chapter 10. One of my favorite guys. Before he leaves to go back to King Artaxerxes to do some work for him for a few months, he makes the people promise, you guys are going to do right. You're going to do right. You're going to do right till the stars fall, they say. Look at chapter 10, Nehemiah, if you're there, verse 39. It's a long verse, but just look at the last phrase. It's real short. I love it. What did the people promise Nehemiah? We will not forsake the house of our God. There's a promise. Raise your right hand. Put it in writing. In other words, if you don't forsake, you're going to remember to remember. Did they? And the answer is no. Turn over to the last chapter, 13. When Nehemiah returns, they had not been keeping the temple clean. Verse 3, 13:3. Nehemiah, look at it. Don't be scared. Have a desire. Now it came to pass when they had heard the law, they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. And before this, Eliashib, the priest, he's not a godly priest. He's a Judah, so to speak. Having the oversight of the chamber of the house of God, had allied with Tobiah. And Tobiah is a heathen. He's a bad guy. He had prepared for him a great chamber where aforetime they laid the meat offerings and the frankincense and the vessels and the tithes of the corn, the new wine and the oil, which was commanded to give to the Levites. Verse 6. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem. Boy, if I'd have been there, it wouldn't have happened. Nehemiah's go keep the temple clean. He's like Phinehas. He's like Jesus. He had a zealous. Look down to verse 8. It grieved me sorely. Therefore, I cast him out with all the household stuff. The couch, the TV, everything went out on the street. He cleansed the temple just like Jesus did. Just like Phinehas, protecting the honor of God. Do we have a zeal for God, His word, or just whatever? That's a famous word. Do we really want to have revival? Do we really want His call? Do you really want the Spirit to work in your heart today, this lifetime? Be like Phinehas. Be like Nehemiah. Verse 28, the last phrase, therefore I chased him from me. Remember, to remember, verse 29. Verse 30, thus cleansed I them from all strangers and appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, everyone to do his business. The wood offering of tithes appointed for the first fruits. And then the last phrase of the book, remember me, O my God, for good. Again, where does that put us? Do we want God to remember us for good when we've done bad? And we know He knows. We don't remember. We forget, just like these guys did. Go our own way. Do our own thing. Good illustration. Don't miss this one. Remember when Joseph was down in Egypt? And he's acting like Pharaoh the second, you know, Pharaoh Jr., Vice Pharaoh, whatever, assistant. And his brother Judah comes up and says, please, Mr. Pharaoh, please, Mr. Pharaoh, don't keep Benji, my brother. You see, Mr. Pharaoh, and he doesn't realize it's his brother he's talking to. You see, Mr. Pharaoh, my daddy's life is wrapped up in this kid. If something happens to this kid, my daddy will have a heart attack. And I don't want my daddy to have a heart attack. And Joseph is thinking, yeah, I don't want your daddy to have a heart attack either because he's my daddy too. can't say a word. Oh, please, Mr. Pharaoh, please take my life. I'll stay back. Handcuff me. I'll be the slave. Let Benji go, please. I want to please my father. You get the point. Nehemiah wanted to be remembered for good, for God. He wanted to please the Father. And by the way, that's when Joseph broke down and started crying and said, you know, I'm Joseph, and their eyes got really big. But Joseph realized that they weren't scandals anymore. They cut and run when he was 17, cut and ran. But now with Benji, you know, they could have gone back home and left Benji swinging in the breeze. But they had changed. They had repented. Joseph realized their hearts were now tender, as mean and tough as they were, like a pine knot. Is our heart tough today? God can change it. You leave people swinging in the breeze, you don't care. It's all about me. Only two choices on the shelf. Pleasing God and pleasing self. Are you like Nehemiah? Are you like Phinehas? Are you like Judah, who finally said, take me, but let Benji go, because I want to please my father? And I challenge you today, young person, please, what's your goal in life, to please you or to please your father? Are you willing to give your life like Judah was, to make his dad happy, to honor the God of all gods? Remember to remember what Jesus has done for us, and to try to please him and to honor him and to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful academy student, thou good and faithful university student, faculty member, or anybody listening. Do we want to please the Father? The last illustration, we'll turn to John chapter 2. We've got a few minutes. Let's try to wrap it up. John chapter 2 is one of my favorite chapters in the book of John. I had a teacher in college years ago that said it's real easy to remember, and I did, because that's 30 years ago, 40 years ago. It's real easy to remember the chapter content of John chapter 2. And if you've been in senior Bible at the academy, you better be able to remember this too, I hope. What are those three things? Number one, there's a wedding. We're going to have a wedding. My son Michael's getting married next week. We're all excited. Right next door. Can't wait. There was a big time, and they ran out of wine, and they came to Jesus, and Jesus, you know, not mine. This is yours. I mean, if we run out of food in 2 weeks, don't come to me. Go to the bride. Egg on their face. It was embarrassing. Did the Lord bail them out? You know, in the Old Testament, you have water to blood. That's judgment. The law kills. But in the New Testament, you have water to wine. That's joy. That's grace. And that's Jesus. Boy, if you give out a food, man, everybody's mad. You know, where's the food? You know? A lot of times, if you know, you don't turn to Jesus, you're probably mad, bitter, mad at somebody. Remember in class, I always say when you're bitter, it's like drinking poison and hoping they die. Don't be bitter. Don't be bitter. Jesus is that joy. Don't run out of wine. You have the wedding, and then you have the whip. You remember he cleansed the temple? And then you have, if you're a Bugs Bunny fan, resurrection. Remember that? Wedding, whip. Resurrection. Don't forget John chapter 2. But what I want to focus on in the last 5 minutes is the whip. If you're in John chapter 2 by now, I hope you are. Verse 13, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now it's down on the map, but up in elevation. Jerusalem's high up in elevation, about 2,000 feet. He found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting, and they were crooked as a snake. They'd have to exchange the money. The money had an image of a Roman emperor, and that was, you know, idolatry. So you had to use the coins from Tyre because theirs didn't have an image on it. But in order to exchange, it's like me giving you a dollar and you giving me 50 cents back. They took them for a ride in the name of God. And if those Gentiles and the quarter of the Gentiles where this took place were observing, they're thinking, that's Christianity? I don't want anything to do with it. And again, examine our life, the way we respond to people, the way we live. Is that Christianity? I was refereeing in a Christian school. I won't tell you the Christian school. But the coach got so mad, he took his coat off and threw it up into the stands. And my buddy gave him a technical foul. After the game, my buddy, his name was Mark, said, if that's a Christian, I don't have anything to do with it. I said, Mark, I agree. You know I'm a Christian. What he did was wrong. I backed you up. That was unsportsmanlike conduct in the worst way. But the next week or two when I went back to this Christian school, did I talk to that coach off to the side sweetly? Yeah. How about the way you respond to mom and dad? And you got brothers and sisters watching. How about the way you respond to teachers? People at work. They were horrible examples. The point I want to drive home here, to be zealous, to be zealous, to be zealous. Look at verse 17. And his disciples remembered, remember to remember, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. It broke the Lord's heart so much that he chased these guys out. Now listen carefully. They didn't stay in the lobby. They went off to property. Now this is at the beginning of the Lord's ministry. And if you know anything about the life of Christ, he'll do it again during the Passion Week 3 years later. The point here is they came back in. And if we're not careful to be vigilant and to fight the devil, he'll keep coming back and he'll keep coming back and he'll keep coming back. But the point I want to leave with you is the word all. Look at verse, I got it circled in my Bible. I got to find it here now. Verse 15. And when he had made a scourge of a small cord, he drove them. What's the next word? What's the next word? All. He didn't leave one wicked sinner in the church. He cleansed the temple. Now, Paul says that our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost now. So today at Memorial Day, do we need to do some house cleaning? There's some areas that are not right with God, and you know it. All means all. Again, maybe you're listening with your eyes closed. I don't know. Maybe you're not listening with your eyes open. I don't know. But as we close the sermon today, have you given him your all so that all sins are washed away? Everything is out. Your temple, your life, is completely given to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to study thy word, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would do his work in the hearts of these precious people. Lord, that if there's a Judas in the crowd, they've got us all fooled. May you do a work of grace in the heart even this hour, this day, before they sleep tonight. Lord, help us to be a Phinehas. Help us to be a Nehemiah. Lord, especially, Lord, help us to be like you, that would fight sin in every area of our life, whether it's the television, whether it's bitterness, whatever snag and hang up, Lord, we'll have. Maybe today will be the day that we're all clean. Help us, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen.